name of Rex Academy, I want to thank Amco for the possibility to be here, to have a little booth as a kind of a hub to share information on Rex Academy residents, the functioning of Rex Academy in Amsterdam, which is fairly known amongst artists in the world, young artists in the world, but sometimes also to our surprise, not completely disseminated this information. So it's really great and fantastic from Arco, and we're really grateful that we could be present here. Next to that, we want to thank, of course, the Mondrian Fonds. Yeah, things change in the Netherlands, that's what you have been experiencing in the last days. And the Dutch Embassy for helping to be able to mount up that booth and to have a presence here. But that's the first thing. And I want to thank Latitudes for inviting the Rex Academy in this structure. And I've been thinking about this structure a while. It's a transparent structure. It's like a remnant of what Holland wanted to be, thought to be. Of course, you've been annoyed already a lot with probably the story of the budget cuts, etc. I will not deny that Rex Academy is out of that discussion. We are absolutely part of it. We are facing a situation that could mean the end of an institution, but that will not. We are working very hard and that is not going to happen. What is very interesting is that Rex Academy was founded by a government. It is a state initiative. It was founded by a government that had the same ideological color as the government that is in power now in the Netherlands. That says a lot about how things change over the course of years. There is a time that politics and culture went together, did things together in order to build society, in order to empower, in order to improve. That type of optimistic attitude is, of course, already long time gone. I think in Holland we have too long thought that we were still part of this progressive thinking, and that what happens now to the cultural institutions has been prepared very long already. I think more than 15 years, and that we were probably too blind to see what was going to happen. So that also provides for the fact that we don't always have the effective answers at the moment, because we accept the discussion in the terms that have been given to us. I think we should change the terms. How to do so that's worked for a longer time, and you cannot do that in 2 minutes. So what was the Rex Academy? The Rex Academy, or is the Rex Academy? The Rex Academy, founded in late 19th century by the Dutch government, was motivated by the idea to become a hub. Today you would call it a hub of a Dutch art scene with an international art scene. A platform for exchange, a place where people could stay, meet, move away again, but stay connected with. It was the idea that a civilized country needs to do something for their cultural producers. So in that time, the art centers were Brussels, Paris, maybe Vienna, Berlin. So all artists left. Artists goes to other places. And it was this kind of very enlightened idea of both the royal family and the government in that time, to kind of like, how can we make a hub here? How can we make our country more civilized? That's why they founded the Rex Academy. And that helped to keep certain Dutch talent in the country and attract international artists towards the country for exchange, for producing ideas, for thinking forward, for thinking about art, for making art, etc. The Rex Academy, as we know it now, as an international residency program, it started more in 25 years ago, I think. The system which is practiced now at the Rex Academy and how it functions, it started 25 years ago. It's a system of, again, this idea of having both a group of Dutch-based artists, I would not say Dutch nationals, Dutch-based artists, and international artists coming to the Rex Academy. The idea behind that is thanks to the Dutch-based artists, it's not a foreign body in Amsterdam or in Holland. Half of the group of residents at the Rijks, the Dutch-based, are the ones that also kind of like introduced the system, the context, the country that was available, other people, networks, to the international artists coming to Holland, so that they kind of like are able to engage immediately with the local context. That's basically the main idea behind having these two groups of people. Each group is approximately 30 people. So it's 30 Dutch-based artists, 30 international artists coming. It's a very tough selection procedure. I've been part of it sometimes, and it's tough for us because it's very, very, very hard to bring a group of about approximately 2,000 candidatures down to 30 residents, because it's 2 years, you have 30 residents of the first year, 30 residents of the second year. So we accept in the end 30 residents, and I must say we are often, we are not perfect, meaning we're often very frustrated to not be able to bring some people in. It's a very, very difficult discussion. And what I like about it is that we are not a school. So we don't want something, we don't want to bring an art type or an art anism or a kind of a stream. We bring in as different people as possible. Considering medium, content, etc. The selection committee is also put together in a way that we have information out of very different domains of art, out of very different domains of thinking in art, that is not all coming from one club. I think that's one of the big strengths of the Rijks Academy. At the same time, that's our weakness today, because that doesn't give us one narrative to tackle the problems. We are a community with an enormous differentiation, and that is, I think, the biggest strength of the Rijks Academy. It forces people to be flexible in their thinking. It forces people to think otherness, to be prepared to listen to a narrative from Lagos, Nigeria, when you're coming from Moscow or something. And it forces also people that are working in abstract painting on the one hand to engage with documentary filmmaking. And I think that is the most interesting part, that during these 2 years, the 60 residents, of course, talk to each other, eat together, do things together, and are maybe for the only one time in their life so much confronted with different art practices than their own, and that they're forced to live with that, to deal with that. And I think that's one of the most interesting things. As a postgraduate institution, it is residence-centered, meaning we, the advisors, are in fact, we don't have any power, we don't have any ideology to come with. We are dependent on how interesting the residents find us. So studio visits are not organized from our side out, but are organized from the residents. They ask us to do a studio visit if they want to talk to us, if they want to develop maybe a certain relationship. If the talk is interesting, you go again, you're invited again. So it's not we that say, I want to see Ruben today, or I want to see any other artist. I think that's very, it's frustrating for us at the same time, but it's very interesting as a system that it's resident-oriented, it's not advisor-oriented. Of course, we are asked to bring all kind of other things. We do lectures, we bring workshops, we invite our network. But the most interesting thing is that we are mostly like supplying. We're mostly supplying things, or trying to supply things when we can with our networks towards the questions and the concerns of the residents. So. That's basically how it works on a strategical, structural way. The rest is, of course, clear. There is infrastructure, it's important. There are workshops. There are new media workshops, there are wood workshops. It's from all we try to cover all kind of mediums, media, all kind of different practices technically. So there is an enormous supply of technical, diverse knowledge, competences. And I think that's also very important that people can use that or get to know new things than what they're used to. For example, again, I've been a bit involved with an artistic scene in Lagos, Nigeria. The preferred medium in Nigeria at the moment is digital cameras, because that's the fastest way to do things. It's not even painting anymore. But when they come to Rags, some people are starting to engage in completely other practices, also on the level of their formal and medium questions of media. That I think is very interesting, that there is this possibility to try out new things. Another very important thing is, although sometimes if the Rijks Academy is successful, that also bites in its own tail, the whole idea is that the residents stay 2 years a bit in a shelter, but the shelter is a bit like this structure, it's very osmotic with the outside world, but that they can work on a body of work without having to think about their, they do of course, but without being forced to think about their career, without being forced to think about a day job in order to provide the means necessary in order to work as an artist. It is a kind of a shelter for 2 years. It's a shelter that allows you to think, to reflect, to work without the necessity to do exhibitions, without the necessity to produce things to make you a living. And I think that's very important. I think it's probably, there are not that many institutions worldwide that provide that. There are some, but there are not that many. Where an artist, after he finished his studies, worked a bit on his own for a couple of years, can come in and be busy with himself, herself, with his own practice, thinking about it, rethinking it, and asking for advice when the artist wants that. I think it's a unique opportunity, and I hope it can continue to exist. Maybe to finish, just some information. The Rijks Academy made this beautiful paper, and this says something about the presence of Rijks Academy artists on this fair, so it's quite a lot of people that are represented by galleries also here at AFCO. And it's not to boast or not to be pretentious, more like to show that it's not a local phenomenon. It's to show that it's a phenomenon that is connected to the art world, that it's connected to many different networks, many different kind of like pathways in the art world, different types of discursive and more market-oriented work. And that, I think, is the strength, that these discussions are not parochial, that we can jump from one to another type of discussion in the art world, that is covering that. And this is, it's not proof of that, but it's kind of like a symptom to see how many artists are present here in AFCO. It's not only because it's the Dutch year, because they are, lots of those people are not Dutch. Most of the people are not Dutch. It's kind of like, it's a very international community that is absolutely relevant today in the art. What I like also is the idea that Rijks Academy is not a mother house. It initiates certain things, or it makes certain things possible in the international networks. For example, it was at the base of organizations like Trama in Argentina, Rangrupa in Indonesia. But those organizations are also not connected to the Rijks alone, they are connected amongst each other. So there is a lot of traveling and exchange happening in organizations founded by Rijks Academy alumni. And I think that's also one of the very, very important things that came out of the residency at the Rijks Academy, and that profited initially from the financial and structural help without the Rijks Academy controlling it. And I think that's very, very important, that there is not a, it's not a mothership that kind of controls these things. I don't know how much time I took away from Robert. Anyway, Maybe afterwards there are some questions for some people, and we can answer that. About there is lots of information in the booth, but I would like to introduce Ruben Grillo, who is at the moment our only Spanish resident at the Rex Academy. We had more, like Fernanda Sanchez Castillo, we had Dora Garcia, and Ruben is a very interesting young artist who uses new media against themselves. I think what is very fascinating about his work is that he's one of the rare artists using imagery that we are confronted with daily, but not in their narrative structures, rather in their formal structures. He uses PDF presentations, he uses digital imagery, ways of printing, how printed matter functions, etc. What I like a lot is the idea how he is kind of like making holes in the possible stream of communication that those media generate. He stops the talking of these media. And what I like is, it's very interesting that he is, as an artist, not dependent on the technique, but that he uses the technique against itself. His presentation